This week's Parsha is Parshas Shoftim. We will start our shir today on chapter 19, verse number 8. Before that, we will give a synopsis of chapter 19. Chapter 19 talks about the cities of refuge. All the Meforshim are bothered why the Torah mentions again the cities of refuge, since the Torah already mentioned about the cities of refuge on Parshas Maaseh, Bamidbar chapter 35, verse number 10, where there the Torah tells you that we should establish six cities of refuge that a person that killed somebody by mistake should be able to run to. This idea was duplicated already in Parshas Veschanon, Devarim chapter 4, verse number 41, where there actually it says, Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Orim Bevera Yardem Mizracho Shemesh, that Moshe Rabbeinu actually already separated the three cities of refuge in the other side of the Jordan. And the Torah there already explains that the cities of refuge are made in order that a person who killed another person by mistake should be able to take refuge in these cities. Then the Meforshim ask, why is it necessary again to repeat here in Parshas Shoftim the idea of cities of refuge? The Ramban is one of the commentators that addresses this question, and the Ramban answers that the reason that the cities of refuge are mentioned again in Parshas Shoftim is because of the mitzvahs that were innovated regarding the cities of refuge, meaning that in Pasuk number 1, the Pasuk says, V'rishtom v'shaftom boreim v'oteim, that you are going to conquer the land and you will inherit it, and you will dwell in their cities and in their houses. Therefore, the Ramban says that the laws of cities of refuge only take place after the division of Eretz Yisrael, meaning only after the 14 years of conquest and division of Eretz Yisrael. This idea was not mentioned previously. Therefore, to teach you this idea, the Torah repeats again the whole idea of cities of refuge. The Ramban cites another halacha that was added in this week's Parsha, and that is what's written in Pasuk number 3, where there it says, Tochin lecho haderech, you should prepare the road, which the Gemara in Makos, Daf Yud Amud Beis, explains that everywhere that there was a crossroads, you had to put a sign indicating the direction of the city of refuge. And the Rambam in Hilchas Rotzeach, Perik Ches Halacha Hei, says that the Bezin is required to make sure that the road is straight, that if you have a pothole or you had any other kind of stumbling block on the road, you're required to remove it. Also, if you had a valley or you had a mountain, you're required to straighten it to make sure that the road is straight. More so, the Rambam says that if you have a river blocking the road, you're required to put a bridge in order to facilitate the one who killed somebody else to go to the city of refuge quickly. And the Rambam says, we learn that from what is written in this week's Parsha, Tochin lecho haderech, that you have to prepare the road, which means we have to make the road easy, accessible for the person who killed somebody by mistake. The Ramban cites other two laws that were added in this week's Parsha, and that is the law of Shilashto es Gvul Arzecha, that we are required to divide Eretz Yisrael in three, meaning that we have to make the distance between the cities of refuge and the border of Eretz Yisrael the same, that they have to have equal distance between the cities of refuge and the borders of Eretz Yisrael, meaning we take the whole piece of land and you divide it in four. That gives you exactly the place where the city of refuge should be located. Also, the Ramban adds that in this week's Parsha is the source of what is meant by Shokek, what is considered inadvertent in the Torah, meaning that previously the Torah only tells you that if you killed somebody inadvertently, you go to the city of refuge. The Torah doesn't describe what is considered inadvertently. There is a lot of levels of mistake, and here the Torah describes exactly in Pasuk number 5 what is considered a mistake. Because of all these laws, says the Ramban, the Torah here repeats the idea of cities of refuge. Even though the idea that the Ramban says that the Torah repeats itself because the Torah wants to innovate something. It's actually a Gemara in Masechta Sota Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, where there the Gemara says, Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, that was learned in the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel, Kol Parsha Shenemra V'Nishnis, any Parsha in the Torah that is written and repeated, Loi Nishnis Elo B'Shvil Dovah Shenis Chadash Ba, it's only repeated because of something the Torah wants to innovate. Nonetheless, the question Mefarshim asks is, why does the Torah have to repeat it in our Parsha? Why not somewhere else? Or why not write everything together in the same place that it wrote previously? Meaning, either write all these halachas in Parshas Maaseh, or write all these halachas in Parshas Voeschanan. And the Torah doesn't have to bring up the idea of Orem Miklat in Parshas Shoftim. It seems to be that independently the Torah was going to bring the idea of Orem Miklat in Parshas Shoftim, therefore the Torah saved some halachas to put it in this Parsha, because otherwise, why wouldn't the Torah write all the halachas that apply to Orem Miklat, to the cities of refuge, in the previous Parshas? Therefore, the Sefon explains that the Torah was independently going to write the ideas of Orem Miklat in this week's Parsha. Why? Because in this Parsha, the Torah starts with Shoftim v'Shatrim titen lecha, that they were required to put judges in every tribe, and that is on chapter 16, verse 18. Afterwards, the Torah tells you about the laws of the king, meaning on Sheni, chapter 17, verse number 14, the Torah tells you when you come into Eretz Yisrael that Hashem gave you as inheritance, then you'll say, Osim olai melech, let me put a king on me, kechol ha-goyim asher sivoyisai, like all the nations that are around me. Then the Torah goes on to explain the procedure of establishing a king. After that, on chapter 18, verse number 1, the Torah tells you about the laws of the Kohanim. After the Torah writes the laws of judges, the laws of kings, and the laws of Kohanim, the Torah starts to say what each one is responsible for. Therefore, the Torah first says that the judges are responsible on Orem Miklat to establish the cities of refuge. They are responsible on putting the borders of Eretz Yisrael. They are responsible to investigate the witnesses to make sure that they are saying the truth and to accept witnesses. After the Torah tells you what is the responsibility of the judges, the Torah tells you the responsibilities of a king, because the Torah tells you on chapter 20, verse number 1, when you're going to go to war against your enemy, and this is discussing milchemes arishus, which is expansion wars, not the wars to defend the borders of Eretz Yisrael, because any war to defend the borders of Eretz Yisrael is a milchemes mitzvah. So we are talking about expansion wars were only allowed by the king. Therefore, the Torah discusses there all the laws that apply to the king, that the king should not be afraid, that the people should not be afraid. Also, that if you go to war, you first have to make sure to ask the people for peace, not to start with war, as it's written in chapter 20, verse number 10. Then the Torah tells you, if you are going to war, that you're not allowed to destroy the trees that are fruit-bearing, as it's written in chapter 20, verse 19. Once the Torah finishes telling the laws of the king, and by the way, even though the Sfana does not mention, we could say that that portion of war applies to the king and also to the Kohen, to the priest, because as it's written in chapter 20, verse number 2, the Kohen HaMoshiach, the Kohen that's anointed for war, is the one that has to make the announcements of the three people that go back from the war. After this portion, the Torah tells you about the laws of Egla Rufa, of the decapitated calf, that if you find a body between cities and you don't know who the killer is, then you're required to measure to the city nearest and bring a calf and decapitate it. That applies to the judges and to the Kohen, because the Kohen is the one that decapitates the calf, and the judges are the ones who measure from the cities. Therefore, according to this Sefarna, the Torah has a purpose for writing the laws of Orem Miklat, of the cities of refuge, Once the Torah writes the laws of cities of refuge, the Torah is required to innovate something regarding the cities of refuge, as the Ramban explains, and as the Gemara that we mentioned said, that every time the Torah repeats something, the Torah only repeats it because it's innovating. The placement is because the Torah wants to tell you the rules about the judges. Once the Torah has to tell you the rules regarding judges, the Torah sees fit to add certain laws regarding the cities of refuge. Sefer Shar Aharon uses the same idea as the Sephorna, and he says that once the Torah tells you about judges, the Torah tells you about the Kohanim, the Torah picks a law that merge the Kohanim and the judges, because the cities of refuge are established by the judges, but the person who goes to the cities of refuge is required to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. Therefore, there it's merged again, the idea of judges and Kohen. Once the Torah wants to bring the idea of this combination, then the Torah has to add again other aspects of the cities of refuge that wasn't mentioned before, following the edict of the Gemara, that any time the Torah repeats itself, the Torah is required to innovate something. Rabbi Ephraim brings a beautiful answer, and he says that if you look at the Parsha, you'll see that immediately prior to the laws of the cities of refuge, it's written the laws of the prophet, who is a true prophet, who is not a true prophet, and that is on chapter 18, verse number 9 up to verse number 22, that the Torah describes who is a true prophet and who is a false prophet. The Torah wanted to hint you that you are only going to have 48 true prophets, as the Gemara in Megillah, Dav Yudalad Amud Aleph, brings down that Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis learned, Arba'im Mishmoya Nevim, 48 prophets, the Sheva Nevios, and 7 prophetess, Nisnabu Lohem LeYisrael, prophesied to the Jewish people. Meaning that we had 48 prophets. Since the Torah wants to hint that we only had 48 prophets, right after the laws of prophets, the Torah tells you that we have the cities of refuge, and we know that we had 48 cities of refuge. Therefore, the Torah brings again the idea of the cities of refuge for you to know that we only have 48 prophets. Going back to the synopsis of our parsha, on Pasuk number 2, the Torah says, Sholosh Orim Tav Delach, you should separate 3 cities, Betoich Arzecho, inside your land, Asher Hashem Lekecho Noise Lecho L'Rishto, that Hashem, your God, gives you as a heritage. Meaning that we require to separate the 3 cities of refuge in Eretz Yisrael. After we conquer Eretz Yisrael, after we possess it, then we require to separate 3 cities of refuge in Eretz Yisrael. The Pasuk goes on and mentions who qualifies to go to the city of refuge. At the end, the Torah tells you on Pasuk number 7, Al ken anoichi metzavcho leimor, therefore I command you, saying, Sholosh orim tavdelach, that you should separate 3 cities. Meaning the Torah here only mentions 3 cities of refuge. Even though we know truly there were 6 cities of refuge, there were 3 cities in the other side of the Jordan, in the land of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh, and that was already separated by Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah here is telling you, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you should separate 3 cities of refuge. Then the Torah continues in Pasuk number 8, and this is going to be the focus of our shir. The Pasuk says, Vim yarchiv Hashem es gvulcha, if Hashem is going to expand your boundaries, meaning that Hashem is going to expand your territory, kashe nishbal avoisecha, as He swore to your forefathers, meaning as He swore to Avram Avinu, not as He swore to you. To you, He only swore that He's going to give you the land of the 7 nations, the 7 nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael. But to your forefather, to Avram Avinu, Hashem swore in Bris Ben Absorim on chapter 15, verse number 19. There the Torah says, as a Keni, Vesaknizi, Sakadmoini, the Keni, the Knizi, and the Kadmoini. And then the Torah lists the 7 nations of Eretz Israel as a Hiti, as a Prizi, as a Refoim, as a Mori, as a Knani, as a Gigoshim, as a Yevusi. Therefore, there to your forefathers, Hashem promised that He's going to give the land of the 10 nations. The land of Eretz Yisrael is only land of 7 nations, but Hashem had promised to your forefathers that He's going to give you the land of the 10 nations. Therefore, when Hashem gives you and broadens your territory, and He gives you the extra 3 lands, the Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni, which Mefarshim say that is the land of Esav and Ammon and Moab, when will Hashem do that? The Torah continues. Hashem will do that, Kisishmer es kol mitzvah zois lasoisa, when you keep all this mitzvah to do, Asher noichi metzavcha yom, that I command you today, la'ahavo es Hashem Elokecha, to love Hashem your God. Stressing the point, la'ahavo Hashem Elokecha, to love your God, ve'oleches bidrochav kol hayomim, and to go in His ways all the days of your life, then v'yosav tolecha, you should add to them, oit sholosh orim ala sholosh eile, 3 more cities on these 3 cities. That besides the 3 cities in Eretz Yisrael, you should add another 3 cities. Note that the Torah in this parsha does not mention the cities of refuge that Moshe Rabbeinu separated. The 3 cities of refuge that Moshe Rabbeinu separated in the other side of the Jordan is not mentioned in this week's parsha. This week's parsha only said that when Hashem gives you the land that He promised you to conquer, that is Eretz Yisrael proper, then you should separate 3 cities of refuge. And when Hashem expands your territory and gives you the land that He promised to Avraham Avinu, which is the land of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni, then you should add another 3 cities of refuge. This is in fact the view of the Alshach, that there is a total always of 6 cities of refuge, meaning there is going to be 3 cities of refuge in Eretz Yisrael, and the 3 cities that are now in the Ever HaYarden that Moshe Rabbeinu separated, when Hashem expands the territory and then we get the lands of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni, then those cities of refuge that Moshe Rabbeinu separated in Ever HaYarden are going to fall in misuse and are going to be replaced by the cities in Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni, meaning that is always going to be a total of 6 cities of refuge. That is the view of the Alshach, but Rashi clearly disagrees with this idea, because Rashi here clearly says, v'yosav t'lecho it sholosh, you should add another 3 cities. Rashi says, arei tesha, you have a total of 9 cities of refuge, meaning Gimel Shebever Yarden, 3 cities on the other side of the Jordan that Moshe Rabbeinu already separated, as is written in Parshas Veschanan, Gimel Sheberetz Knan, 3 cities in the land of Knan, which are the 3 cities of refuge that we have to establish in Eretz Yisrael proper, and then the Gimel Leosid Lavoi, and 3, when Hashem is going to expand your territories, which then you will inherit the land of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini, then you will separate another 3 cities for a total of 9 cities. Rashi's language mentions that the 3 cities are going to be increased, Leosid Lavoi, which means the future to come. Leosid Lavoi normally is meant for the time of Moshiach, meaning that at the time of Moshiach, when Hashem is going to expand our territory, then you should separate these 3 cities. As a matter of fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Roitzeach, Perik Ches, Halacha Dalet, says, "Bimei Melach Moshiach, the time of Moshiach, Moisifin Sholosh Acheros Aleilu Asheish, we are going to add 3 cities on those 6, Shenemar, because it's written, Biosavto Alacho Oit Sholosh Orim Ala Sholosh Ela, that you should add another 3 cities over these 3 cities." And the Rambam continues, Ve'echon Moisifin Oison, where do we add those cities? Meaning, which territories are we going to add these 3 cities? Boraya Keni, Knizi, Kadmoini, in the lands of Keni, Knizi, Kadmoini, Shenichlas Avraham Avinu Bris Aleihem, that Avraham Avinu made a covenant on them, Vadayin Loi Nichboshu, and they haven't been conquered yet, Valeihem Neema Bar Torah, and on that is what the Pasuk says in our Parsha, Ve'imach V'Hashem Elkecho Es Gvulcho, that Hashem is going to expand your territory. And also the Rambam, Minilchas Malachim, Perek Yut Alev Alacha Beis, says, Bora Miklot who Omer im Yachiv Hashem Elkecha es Gvulcha, that in Or HaMiklot is written the pasuk that we mentioned that Hashem is going to expand your territory. Ve'yosavta lecha oid shalosh arim, you're going to add another three cities. The Rambam says im'olam lo hayo davar zeh, there never was such a thing. Ve'lo tziva kodesh baruch hu letohu, Hashem would not command us to do this in vain. Therefore, the Rambam brings proof from here that there is going to be a Melech HaMashiach, that Moshiach will come and he will conquer those lands, then we'll have to establish the three extra cities of refuge. And exactly like the Rambam, the Chinuch in Mitzvah Tov Kof Chof brings this down, and also the Smak and Essin Ayin Vav, and also the Ritva in Chidush on Lebava Basra, Daf Nun Vav Amad Aleph, brings also that this applies only to the days of Moshiach. Even though the Ramban doesn't say clearly that this applies to the days of Moshiach, nonetheless, the Ramban writes down that in order to receive the lands of the three nations, Tzorech, Schuz, Yoiser, Godel, you require to have a huge merit. Dahainu lahavos Hashem, ahavos shleima, kayemes loilam, to love Hashem, a true love that stands forever. Sheyia golo lefonov shloitechtu oid loilam, that Hashem will know for sure that you are not going to sin anymore. Oz yarchiv Hashem es gevulcha, at that time when Hashem is sure that you are not going to sin, then Hashem is going to expand your territory and he will give you the lands of the nations. That is what is written later on in chapter 30, verse number 6. Umol Hashem lekechaz levavcha, Hashem is going to circumcise your heart, vez levav zarecha, and the hearts of your children, which is referring to the time of Moshiach, meaning that even though the Ramban does not say clearly that this expansion is going to happen at the time of Moshiach, but the conditions he imposes on this happening has to refer to the time of Moshiach. Regarding somebody who kills by mistake, the Gemara in Makos Daf Yud Amud Beis says that what's written in the Pasuk in Shmos chapter 21 verse 13, Vashaloit Sodo, and somebody who did not intend to kill his fellow, Velokim ino leyodo, and Hashem made it happen to his hand, then Vensati lechamokim, I will make you a place, Asher Janus Shoma, that this murderer who murdered somebody by mistake should run there. The Gemara is bothered. How is it possible that somebody should murder somebody else by mistake? Hashem always protects every person. How is it possible that a Jew should kill another person by mistake? The Gemara says that Rish Lakish used to start the portion of cities of refuge from this pasuk, and Rish Lakish brought also a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, chapter 24, verse number 13, which says, Kasha Yomer, Meshala Kadmoine, as it's written from the Moshul Kadmoine, Mereshoim Yetziresha, from evil people, evil comes out, Veyodi Loisiye Becha, but my hand is not involved there, meaning Hashem is telling you that evil comes from evil people, Hashem's hand is not there. So Gemara explains, Bama Kosev Medaber, what is the Torah talking about? The Gemara says, "Vishnei bnei adam shehargu es hanefesh," two people who killed a person, one person killed by mistake and the other person killed on purpose. To both of them, there is no witness, meaning the one who killed on purpose really deserves to die, but there is no witness, and the one who kills by mistake deserves to go to exile, but there is no witnesses. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazminam lepinokecha, Hashem makes him come to one place. Zeh shehorag b'mezit yoshev tachas asulam, the one who killed on purpose sits underneath a ladder, and this person who kills by mistake comes down from the ladder, he falls on top of him and kills them, then it happens that the one who killed on purpose is killed, and the one who killed by mistake goes to exile because now there are witnesses. Meaning, Hashem makes it happen that whatever happened previously is going to be punished, that Hashem wants to make sure that everybody gets his atonement. The one who killed on purpose but there was no witness now is killed by the one who fell on top of him, and the one who killed by mistake and there was no witness now killed this person but now there is witness, so he goes to exile. And according to Rish Lakish, both psukim means to say that, meaning that even though this person had no intention, Hashem made it happen, Hashem only made it happen because Mereshoim Yetziresha, from evil people, evil comes out. Since both of them were guilty, one was guilty of murder outright and the other one was guilty for killing by mistake, therefore Hashem makes this happen. According to this comes out that somebody who kills by mistake really killed the person that deserved death, and also he was himself guilty for killing previously somebody by mistake. The question that Mefarshim ask now is that according to what we just mentioned, the land of Keni, Knizim, Kadmoni will only be conquered after Moshiach comes. Meaning that we are discussing after the time of Moshiach, then we are going to expand the territory of Eretz Israel. At that point, Hashem tells us that we should separate cities of refuge. The question that they ask is regarding the time of Moshiach, it's written in Zechariah chapter 13, Vezruach Atumo Avri Min Haaretz, that I'm going to remove the spirit of impurity from the land, meaning that nobody will sin. The Ramban, as we mentioned, says that we are discussing a time where Hashem knows for sure that you are not going to sin anymore, a time where we're going to have only love of Hashem. Then how is it possible that regarding such time, it's written that we are required to make cities of refuge? Who is going to kill somebody else during that time? I understand, according to Shmuel, which says in Gemorim Brachas, Daf Lamed Dalet, Amud Beis 34b, that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh L'Moed HaMashiach, there is no difference between this world as we have now to the world at the time of Mashiach, Elo Shibud Malchus Bilvad, only subjugation by the government, meaning that we are not going to be subjugated by the nations of the world, but everything else is going to work the same way. That means we are still going to sin, we are still going to make mistakes. Then I understand why you need to have expanded cities of refuge. But according to the Gemara that says, Kol Nevim Kulon Lo Nisnab Al Moed HaMashiach, the all the prophecies that is mentioned in all the books is talking regarding the time of Mashiach, meaning at the time of Mashiach is going to be utopia. There is not going to be any desires of sin. The sheep is going to be together with the wolf. And what the Gemara writes down in Shabbos Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph 63a, that all the weapons are going to be cancelled in the time of Mashiach, that means that nobody is going to harm somebody else. Then the question Mefarshim asks is, why do we need a cities of refuge? What purpose do cities of refuge have in a time that there is no crime, where everybody is close to Hashem, everybody loves Hashem, and Hashem testifies that he is not going to sin again? Then what purpose do cities of refuge have? The Shachar HaTorah and the Lubavitch Rebbe in Likutei Sichos, Shnas Tov Shin Tezvov, bring the same answer, and they bring their answer based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, says there that you are not allowed to read something by candlelight on Shabbos because we are afraid that you are going to move the candle. And if you move a burning candle on Shabbos, you are guilty for kindling because you caused the wick to flicker. The Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, Ani ekra veloy ete, that I will read by candlelight and I'll be careful not to move the candle. The Gemara tells a story according to one version that one time he read and he actually moved the candle. The Gemara continues, V'kosav al pinkoso, he wrote his notebook, Ani Shmuel ben Elisha korisi, V'iteisi ner b'Shabbos, I, Shmuel ben Elisha, read by candlelight and I move a candle on Shabbos, L'kesheibona beis hamikdosh, and beis hamikdosh is going to be built, Ovi chatos shmeina, I will bring a fat chatos, meaning I will bring a sacrifice for my sin of causing the candle to flicker, which is the prohibition of kindling. Even though at the time of Rishmo ben Elisha there wasn't Beis HaMikdash, but nonetheless he realized he made a mistake, he said when the time of the Beis HaMikdash comes, I will bring this fat sacrifice in order to atone for my sin. The Shachal Torah and the Lubavitch Rebbe say accordingly that this is meant that we have to make the cities of refuge after Moshiach is going to come. True, after Moshiach is going to come, nobody is going to sin, but throughout generations, there are people who killed by mistake, and those people could not go to the cities of refuge, because like nowadays, they are unavailable. Hashem will appoint three cities of refuge at the time of Mashiach, that all the people throughout generations that killed somebody by mistake and did not go to the cities of refuge will now go. In the same way that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said that Moshiach will come and will bring a fat chatas, so too the people who killed by mistake throughout the generations prior to Moshiach will, at the time of Moshiach, have to go to the three cities of exiles that are going to be in the Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini, even though they cannot sin now. They are going there for the previous sins that they committed. The Shlo HaKodesh, the Chasam Sofer, and the Sefer Be'er Yitzchak give similar answers. The Shlo HaKodesh says that here the Pasuk says that when Moshiach is going to come, Hashem is going to expand the territory, and you are going to conquer the land of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini. But yet we know that Moshiach is going to come and he's going to conquer the whole world. As it's written in Pasuk in Tehillim, Ayin Beis 72, Vayered Maim Adyam, that water will come until the ocean, which means that Melech Moshiach Yimshoel Mitzav Oilom Ad Soifoy, that the King Moshiach is going to rule the whole world from corner to corner. Then we have seemingly a contradiction regarding what is going to happen at the time of Moshiach. Is Moshiach going to conquer only the lands of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni, or is going to conquer the whole land? Therefore, the Shlo HaKodesh says that the conquest of Moshiach is going to happen in stages. That the first stage is going to be that Moshiach is going to conquer the land of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni, and yet at that point it's not going to be totally the way that the prophets prophesized. It's not going to be utopia yet. There's still going to be wars because Moshiach is still going to need to conquer the rest of the world. At that point, after he conquered the land of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini, you are still going to need cities of refuge because you are still going to need weapons and there is still going to be murders by mistake. After Moshiach conquers the whole world, then everybody is at peace, everybody is connected to Hashem, and there is no more murders. But at the time where Moshiach conquers the land of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini, the conquest is not complete yet. The typical time of Moshiach is not there yet. At that point, you still need the cities of refuge because people are still going to kill by mistake. The Chasam Sofer says in the same vein, and he explains that when the Pasuk writes down in chapter 19, verse number 1, Virishtom, you inherited, Vyoshafta Baoreim, Votem, and you will dwell in their cities and their houses. And then Hashem says, Shalosh Orim Tavdi Loch Besoich Artzecha, that you should separate three cities of refuge in the land of Israel. The Chasam Sofer says that your separating the cities of refuge in the land of Israel is a direct consequence of your dwelling in the houses and the cities of the Knani. Meaning, since you are dwelling in the cities of the Knani, that dwelling will cause a corruption in your spirituality, and that corruption will be so strong that unfortunately you will act like them and you will eventually kill by mistake. Therefore, the Torah tells you to separate three cities of refuge after you dwelled in their cities. The same thing will happen as soon as you get in to the land of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini, that you are going to go to the land of Esav, Ammon, and Moab. Their spiritual corruption is going to be embedded in you, and you are going to unfortunately be corrupted again, that you are required to have cities of refuge. Only after you become purified, then Hashem is going to expand the conquest, and then you won't be needing cities of refuge anymore, because then you will have utopia. But at the first stage, in the same way, when you come into Eretz Yisrael and you dwell in the cities of the Knani, you get corrupted and you require to have cities of refuge because of the crimes that you are going to commit. The same thing will happen when you get to the land of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini after the beginning of time of Moshiach, that you will be corrupted by dwelling in their houses. Therefore, you will need again cities of refuge. But after Hashem will expand everything, then you won't need cities of refuge anymore, because then there will be utopia. Before we bring the other answers, there is a very strong question from Sefer Ora Yosher. Sefer Ora Yosher says that according to all the Meforshim, this parsha is talking about the time of Moshiach, meaning that at the time of Moshiach, Hashem is going to expand our territory, that we are going to conquer the land of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni, as we mentioned from the Rambam, that this is going to happen at the time of Moshiach. The question is that if this is going to happen at the time of Moshiach, then why does the Torah say, Ve'im yarchif Hashem es gvulcho, if Hashem is going to expand your territory, the Torah should have said, Ki yarchif Hashem es gvulcho, when Hashem is going to expand your territory. Not if Hashem is going to expand your territory. If seems to imply that it's doubtful if it's going to happen or not. But if we are talking about the time of Mashiach, we all require to believe that Mashiach is going to come, then why do we say, if Hashem is going to expand the territory, we should say when Hashem is going to expand the territory. Because Mashiach is definitely going to come, and if he comes, he's definitely going to expand the territory. There is no ifs. Mashiach will definitely expand the territory. Are you going to tell me the same answer that Rashi writes down on Mishpatim chapter 22, verse 24, where the pasuk there says, "Im kesef tal v'sami," if you are going to lend money to my nation, as oni imach, the poor person who is with you? And there Rashi brings down from the Mechilta, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Rabbi Shmuel says, "Kol im v'im shebetoyre reshus," that every time the Torah says "im," means it's optional, that it's your decision if you are going to do that or not. Chutz meshalosh, besides three of them, v'ze echod mehem, and this is one of them, meaning that you are required to lend to the poor person, you don't have a choice, but nonetheless, the Torah writes down im, the Torah writes down if, and you are going to try to tell me that here too it's written im yarchiv Hashem es gvulcho, if Hashem is going to expand, but it means when Hashem is going to expand, that cannot be, because Mechilta clearly says that all ims of the Torah are reshus, meaning there's an optional, you have an option to do that, besides three, and according to the Mechilta, this is not one of the three. The Pasuk, im kesef talve, if you are going to lend money, is one. The Pasuk in Vayikra, chapter 2, verse number 14, ve'im takrif minchas bikurim, if you are going to bring the minchas bikurim, here it's also obligation. And the third pasuk that's obligation is in Shmos chapter 20, verse 21, where it says, "Ve'im mizbeach avarim tasali," if you are going to make me an altar of stones, which the Mechilta says it's obligation to make an altar of stones, it's not optional. Therefore, we have three that are obligations. That means that all other ims that's written in the Torah is optional. Then the question is, if we are required to believe Mashiach is going to come, then how can here be written, Ve'im yarchiv Hashem es gvulach, if Hashem is going to expand your territory? Clearly, if this is talking about the days of Mashiach, Mashiach is going to come and he will definitely expand our territory. Then why is it written, Ve'im, if Hashem is going to expand your territory? Sefer Be'er Yitzchak tries to give a different answer, and with his answer, he tries to reconcile both opinions of the Talmud, that there is no difference between the times of Mashiach and this world now, only subjugation of kings, but anything else will be the same, and the opinion of the Talmud that all the prophets which prophesied utopia, prophesied all the good things, prophesied for the days of Mashiach. And he says that this depends on the people, meaning that at the time of Mashiach is going to be two groups of people. One group of Amaratim, of ignoramus, that aren't going to do the effort to repent before the coming of Mashiach. They are not going to learn Torah. They are not going to do anything. To those people, there won't be a difference between this world and the time of Mashiach, only subjugation of kings, but anything else will be the same. Therefore, to those people, we are required to make cities of refuge, because those people will still be in the same way, that their hearts won't be cleansed, that they won't be perfect, they won't have utopia. To these people, they are still going to be killing by mistake. Therefore, you are required still to make cities of refuge. But the righteous people at the time of Mashiach, where Hashem promised all the prophecies that is written by the prophets, to those people there is not necessary to have cities of refuge. Those people will have utopia, those people will have clean heart, those people will love Hashem, and those people, do not need cities of refuge. The cities of refuge are only needed by the people who are amaratzim, who are not in the level of righteous people. Those people are still going to, unfortunately, have an evil inclination, and the only difference to those people is going to be the subjugation of the government. Those people still require to have cities of refuge. But the other people, the righteous people, aren't going to require cities of refuge. According to this Beir Yitzchak, we could try to explain why it's written in the language Ve'im Yarchiv Hashem Es Gevulcha. If Hashem is going to expand your territory, then you should make three cities of refuge, because the cities of refuge may not happen. If everybody is righteous, then we do not need the cities of refuge. And since it's written in Gemara in Brachas, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Vomar Rab Chanina says, Hakol Bidei Shamayim, everything is in the hands of heaven, Chutz Meira Shamayim, besides fear of heaven, meaning that fear of heaven is up to the individual, then Hashem doesn't want to tell you definitely that you are going to need the cities of refuge, because maybe everybody is going to be righteous at the time of Mashiach. Then Hashem doesn't want to make definite that it's going to be amaratzim, that's going to be ignoramus, people that aren't going to repent prior to Mashiach. Hashem wants to write down in the language ve'im, if Hashem is going to expand and you're going to need the three cities of refuge. Hashem is putting in the language if, in order to give you an option that you should have free will in order to fear heaven, that if Hashem would have put it in the language of definite, that Hashem is going to expand your territory and you are definitely going to need the cities of refuge, then Hashem obligates your free will that you are not going to be worthy at the time of Mashiach. And Hashem does not want to obligate your free will by stating definitely that you are required to have a city of refuge because you are not in the level of righteous people. The Meshech Chochmah gives a similar answer, and the Meshech Chochmah bases his answer on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph 98a, where there Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Alexander says, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Rami, Rabbi Shua ben Levi asks a question. It's written in Yeshaya chapter 60, Ani Hashem, Am Hashem, Be'ito, in his proper time, Achishana, I will hasten. There the prophecy is talking about the coming of Mashiach, that Hashem is saying that in its proper time, Hashem will hasten the coming of Mashiach. The Gemara asks a contradiction. If it's written Be'ito, that means in its proper time, then what does it mean that Hashem will hasten the coming of Mashiach? Either Hashem will hasten the coming, or Hashem will make Mashiach come at his proper time. The Gemara answers that Zohu, if the Jewish people are meritorious, then Achishenu, Hashem will hasten the coming of Mashiach. Lo Zohu, if the people don't have merits, then Hashem will bring Mashiach Be'ito in his proper time. Meaning that we always could make Mashiach come early by having merits. If the Jewish people repent, the Jewish people are meritorious, then Hashem will hasten the coming of Mashiach. According to this, says the Meshech Chochmah, I could reconcile the two statements of the Gemara that says that at the time of Mashiach, the world is going to continue the same way that it is now. The only difference is going to be that at the time of Mashiach, we are not going to be subjugated by foreign governments, and the statement that says that Mashiach is going to come, the spirit of impurity is going to be removed of the world, and the world is going to be almost as a state of utopia, based on the level that Mashiach came. The way that the world is going to be after Mashiach will depend in which level Mashiach came. Meaning that if Mashiach came in his proper time, that means that the Jewish people did not have merits. In order for Hashem to bring Mashiach, Hashem had to remove the spirit of impurity from the world because we could not do it on our own. On that, it's written that nobody is going to sin. Since Hashem removed the spirit of impurity, then nobody is going to need cities of refuge. But if it's going to be in the level that Hashem will hasten it, that means that we were meritorious, that we did shuva, that we repented and we did mitzvahs, and because of that, Hashem brought Moshiach early, then at that level, Hashem does not need to remove the spirit of impurities from the world. At that level, we are still going to have free will. And regarding that level is what Shmuel made the statement, the Gemara, that there is no difference between this world and the time of Moshiach, only subjugation of governments, meaning that at that level, we are still going to have a Yetzer Hara, we are still going to have evil inclination, and there is not going to be a difference in the time of Moshiach from what is now. At that time, we are still going to require to have cities of refuge. If it is a level Be'ito, that it comes in proper time, if it comes in proper time, that means that we did not repent. The only way Hashem could bring Moshiach is if Hashem removed the spirit of tumah, of impurities from the world. Hashem cleanses everybody's heart, then it's impossible for you to sin, then you don't need to have cities of refuge. But if Moshiach comes in the level of Zachu, that we are meritorious, that we repented, then the spirit of impurity is still going to be in this world. True that we may overcome it, but then it's still possible that people are going to sin, people are going to make mistakes. For that time, Hashem tells you that you have to make cities of refuge. And according to this Meshe Chachma, we could understand the pasuk very beautiful, why it's written here, Ve'im, if Hashem is going to expand your territory, and the Torah is telling you, when is that going to happen? When you are going to love Hashem before your heart and you're going to follow His way, that means that you are meritorious. That means that Moshiach is going to come in the level of Achishena, that Hashem will hasten the coming of Moshiach. At that time, you are required to separate three cities of refuge. But since it's not a definite that you are going to require to have three cities of refuge, because if you are not meritorious and Hashem will expand your territory because you did not repent, then you are not going to need the cities of refuge. Therefore, the Torah writes down in the language, Ve'im yarchiv Hashem es gvulcha, if Hashem is going to expand your territory when you do tshuva, then you need three cities of refuge. But if the expansion is going to come not because you did tshuva, then you do not need the cities of refuge, because at that time Hashem will remove the spirit of impurity from this world. And Hashem Yisborach should help that since we are in the days of Elul, and the days of Elul are propitious for us to repent, that we should all repent, like that we'll have the level of Achishena, that Hashem will hasten the coming of Moshiach. Once Moshiach comes, He'll expand our territory. He will build the Beis HaMikdash, b'mheira b'yomeinu, Amen.